and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Vice President Harris gave CNN her first sit-down interview since becoming the Democrats' presidential nominee. She talked up her plan for what she called an opportunity economy, if elected, and said she would consider a Republican for her cabinet.
I have spent my career inviting diversity of opinion. I think it's important to have people at the table when some of the most important decisions are being made that have different views, different experiences.
An act of Congress would likely be needed, but former President Trump said if elected, he'd make the government pay for costs associated with in vitro fertilization. It's been a tough time for Boeing, both in its commercial aviation and space branches, but it reported an impressive statistic on Thursday. There was not a single fatal crash on any of the more than 31 million commercial jetliner flights worldwide in 2023. That hasn't happened since 1959. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two Wisconsinites have died from West Nile virus, and the Department of Health Services confirms another is in the hospital. The three people affected are from Outagamie, Fond du Lac, and Brown counties. Our rainy summer created paradise for mosquitoes, so do whatever you can to avoid being bitten. And Governor Tony Evers' changes to the state spending on schools happen all through line item veto. In Wisconsin, the governor can simply cross out any parts of a bill that's been passed by the legislature, sign it, and it becomes law without all the parts that have been crossed out. So in 2023, he took the Republican-authored state budget and crossed out this and that, ending in an extra $325 more per student for the next 400 years. A conservative advocacy group filed a lawsuit saying he exceeded his authority when he did that. But this week, a Dane County judge said Evers' changes to the law were totally legal. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers blank the Giants. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. Milwaukee's Aaron Civale and Aaron Ashby combined for a two-hit shutout to give the Brewers a series win over San Francisco. The Brewers piled up 8 hits in the 6-0 victory. Now the Brewers turn the page to a doubleheader Friday against the Cincinnati Reds in Ohio, where temperatures are expected to be around 100 degrees. The Wisconsin Badgers kick off their football season tonight against Western Kentucky at 8 p.m. It's the second year of the Luke Fickell era after going 7-6 a year ago. First-year starting Badgers quarterback Tyler Van Dyke is excited to get to work.
Just the atmosphere. I'm excited to play in front of this crowd and excited to just get out there with my teammates. We've been practicing all year long, working together.
You can hear the Badgers tonight on our Civic Media stations WRJN, WRCE, WFHR, and WLAK, or on the free Civic Media app. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Pickleball. Yeah. Where's Greg Baca on this? Because I'm about to offend all these many, many people in Wisconsin who play it. It's overgrown ping pong. I mean, come on.
It's underbaked tennis.
Well, I've already done it because on the text line, Matt from Germantown, don't make fun of pickleball.
We're not making fun of pickleball. We're simply making fun of the people who play pickleball. There is a difference.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and political editor of Civic Media, joins us at 10:30. Be here.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A few lingering clouds and showers this morning, then gradually clearing this afternoon as we head into an absolutely incredible Labor Day weekend. Today, 79. Tonight, clear, 56. Tomorrow, sunshine, 82. And then sunny, highs in the mid-70s on Sunday and Labor Day. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
The Todd Almost Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jeff Mitchell, who will tell us all we need to know about the Northeast Wisconsin Old Fashioned Fest. And it's a bar band Friday night as Terry Barr from Max Inc. Radio drops by with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Welcome in on a Friday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, hoping everyone weathered the storm okay last night. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I did not need an alarm to wake up early this morning. Mother Nature did it for me. Thunder, lightning, wind, and rain here in the Madison area. We haven't seen action like that in a little while. I'm also seeing reports of a possible tornado that hit western Wisconsin. If you experienced rainfall, severe weather, or some of these high winds, please let us know. Send us a message at 877-301-FARM. Include your name and location. Again, that's 877-301-3276. I'll read those reports on air when we get our weather update from our ag meteorologist, Stu Mock. Also this morning, Ben Jarbo reports from the Stockmanship and Stewardship Workshop in Lancaster. I'll introduce you to another one of our state's sesquicentennial farms. And it's that time of year. Compeer Financial is sending out patronage checks. But first, there's a 4-H event coming up on the calendar that you don't want to miss.
The Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, it's been around for a while. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't think about it until the end of the year. Now is a good time for not only farmers, but also their seed suppliers, their agronomists, their crop consultants to think about it as well. Sean, a lot of people at first will be, well, it's just for bragging rights or maybe the money that is part of the reward. But it, from your perspective, it's about a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, Pam, what I really learned from the yield contest is that farmers are always trying innovative new technologies out there in the field. And what they can do then is basically see how they work in these smaller field situations, which is the yield contest. And that information then comes back to me and is relayed to farmers through our different work groups and through them, you know, just having those conversations at Corn Soy Expo. And what's really cool about that is we can see the diversity of ways that farmers can get to these high yields.
More details available now at wisoybean.org or coolbeans.info.
The World Dairy Expo is coming up in October, but for high schoolers, that is not the only learning opportunity available to learn about dairy farming. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and Charlie Crave with the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation gave a look into what the 4-H National Dairy Conference is and what to expect from it this year.
I've been a volunteer with the National 4-H Club Dairy Conference for 25 years. And the conference was established, I believe, in 1974 in conjunction with the livestock show in Chicago. And when the show transitioned to World Dairy Expo here in Madison, the National 4-H Dairy Conference came along with it. So the Dairy Conference is the only nationally accredited program which is project-based. So it is approved by the National 4-H Office and the USDA. It has educational format which meet all the criteria of the National 4-H program. And I've just been so pleased to be a part of it over the last 25 years.
So is this program mainly for kids who want to come and learn more about dairy?
Right. So it not only focuses on dairy and a little bit of the showing, but the program was designed to supplement what youth might get through their county fair or the livestock showing portion of a project. For example, we have national teams that compete in dairy foods judging. They sometimes attend. We have national 4-H quiz bowl teams and other educational venues from throughout the country who attend the conference. So it's around 150 youth every year and about 30 chaperones. and they come to Madison, and it's the first week, so it coincides with Dairy Expo. This year is September 29th to October 2nd. So it's Sunday through Wednesday night, and youth are free to go Wednesday night after the dance, and we do have Wisconsin youth who are home in their own beds there that Wednesday night. So it's action-packed and open to many.
What are the events that take place during this conference?
Well, we have some great mixers and opportunities to meet each other from around the country. We're bringing in youth from 30-some states and a couple Canadian provinces. So it's beyond those you might know from your county or state fair. We also have speakers from throughout the industry, so we might have AI representatives, foreign sales managers for some of the firms, team builders from the university who have done international development work. We visit Bull Studs, some farms, Hordes Dairyman Publishing in Fort Atkinson, and we spend an afternoon and evening on the Crave Brothers Farm and Cheese Factory in Waterloo. So there we have some presenters, we have a meal and a dance in the machine shed, and it's always rewarding for me as I get out to hear young people come up and say, oh, Mr. Crave, I attended the conference 20 years ago, and I just loved it. So that's always, of course, that's rewarding for any teacher or leader.
If some kids are interested in participating in this, how would they go about signing up for it?
Well, they should talk to their county youth agent. The registrations are and information is online at National 4-H Dairy Conference, but their youth agent would have access to that as well for their particular state. And also, they would have some information about financial assistance. So the cost is $650. But that includes all the meals, transportation, and your room at the Marriott West in Middleton. The other thing is, we all know many counties have various fundraisers and funds available to support the development of programming in those particular counties. So make sure you check and work through your county agent, your local club, and of course your state office. And that can all be facilitated with some good common conversation. I really urge you to truly consider this. This is a great opportunity. It's available for high school age students. We really recommend as a freshman or sophomore to engage at that time rather than when you might have varsity sports or AP classes. And there's no doubt every year we hear from the youth and we hear from the parents. This is the best program that we've ever attended. It's better than any 4-H or FFA program in Washington or other trip. This is the grand slam of programs. So that's what we aim to provide.
Kind of go along with this. Are there any things that people should know before attending, whether it be the kids or parents that might be nervous about sending their kids to Madison for this?
Well, we do have it's very well chaperoned. We have good conversations with the parents beforehand. We always have a couple of phone-in or video conferences for the parents of what the chaperones are doing, what the program entails. So if you put your child on a bus or they team up with someone from another state to travel to Madison for that event, they'll find out what they need to know. The other thing is you cannot be exhibiting cattle at Dairy Expo and participating in the Dairy Conference. It just both won't work out. And it wouldn't be very fair to our sponsors either to say, hey, you're kicking in a lot of money towards this program and now people aren't here or they're picking and choosing. No. And I'm thinking judging team people, I don't think they're eligible to attend either. They'd have to check with their state. That's been discussed. But no, love to have more youth participate. You dairy leaders out there, bring it up. Share the word. It's a national program. It's had great, great individuals attend it over the years, and we're just really so happy to put it on. And as a committee member, I urge you to apply.
Is there any one part of the conference that people just seem to really love?
Well, the afternoon on the farm is usually pretty one of the main highlights. The square dance that evening, everybody goes home tired. We try to give you some time on the buses or a little bit of downtime so they can rest or do their homework virtually. The tours to the bull studs, the speakers throughout the day. I mean, we start out in the morning, usually 6:30 or 7 o'clock with breakfast speakers, just jam-packed. Every year changes up a bit, but quite often the highlights have been science fun with dairy food and the time at the Crave Brothers Farm or the bull studs. Yeah, we visit a couple bull studs too.
Is there anything else about this that you want to let people know about?
Well, the whole program was conceived because we all know that 4-H is not about the best animals. It's about making the best youth to make the best better. And that's really the focus of the committee. So whether you're strong with your show animals or you think you just like to learn more, we'd really love to have you. We find a lot of the kids, they might know something about showing, but by golly, this really opens their eyes to a lot of the industry. And I just can't tell you how happy they are that they took this time from their schedule to attend. And we know it's not easy. We have 30-some youth from New York that come every year. So, yeah, they might fly out and fly in and get motor coached around New York and before they get to the airport. And it's a big deal. It's really a big deal. Yeah, don't miss this opportunity. It's like some other things. You know, you can only play sports in high school when you're in high school. So you got an inkling, you better do it. It's the same thing. If you think you like agriculture and 4-H and like to learn more about dairy, go for it.
Charlie Crave with the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation looking forward to helping teach the kids more about dairy farming at this year's National 4-H Dairy Conference. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Are you curious about high grocery prices? Well, I have some news for you. A recent Federal Trade Commission report found that grocery chains like Kroger and companies like Amazon have made a lot of money since they raised prices during COVID. In fact, grocery store profits were higher in 2023 than any time in recent memory. It also turns out that prices and profits remain high even after the supply chain kinks got straightened out. So higher prices are not just supply chain drama like these retailers told us. It turns out they are making a lot of money. Well, here's a little good news. Some of them are feeling the pressure. They're lowering prices and getting the message that we won't bankroll them forever. For more money explainers, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We're going to give away some Milwaukee Brewers baseball tickets and our old friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with a Week in Review.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Hector. She's the fifth generation on her family's sesquicentennial farm in Seymour. She says one of the reasons that her family's been able to farm on this land for more than 150 years is because they've always been trying to generate new ideas, new markets for additional income.
Originally, they actually bred and raised workhorses for people in the community as a way to generate extra money rather than just cropping. And I do know another year that my grandparents started growing hops. This is back, I think, in the 70s, but they're having a tough time with just regular crops. So they started putting in hops to grow for local breweries. So just over time, one thing that's allowed us to continue throughout the changing market has been just continually looking at ways to diversify and utilize what we have. Changing the way we do things, we're no longer registering our Holsteins. We actually started crossbreeding a lot of our dairy cattle.
Brittany Minster's farm story is one of many that we're featuring at MidwestFarmReport.com, courtesy of Compeer Financial. It's time now for our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Stu, I did a call on our rainfall reporters to tell me what they saw last night and into this morning. I'll read those for you now. Frank and Elroy saw 0.8 inches of rain. He hasn't seen that much rain since earlier this month. And then nearly a 0.5 inch of rain in Alto, Wisconsin. So thank you to our rainfall reporters. Oh, here we go again. Light rain started at around 4 a.m. today. David in Burlington. Stu, what did you see last night and into this morning?
Well, as I'm checking around, Stephanie, I see Madison at the airport reporting 0.84 inches, 0.36 inches at Fond du Lac. My friend John Neer Armstrong, 0.25. Wausau, 0.77, and then it gets heavy. Eau Claire, 1.53 inches, and La Crosse, 1.95 inches. And I did see last evening a tornado spotted near River Falls and Baldwin in far western Wisconsin. You know, that takes a little while to be verified by the Weather Service, but they're going to tell us if there was damage and what went on there. There's still rain in eastern Wisconsin this morning. A cold front trying to pass through the state will move through later today. You'll note when winds become northwest that the front has passed, and after that, things will be improving. That rain still extending all the way from the Door Peninsula right down through the Fox Valley, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac to Beaver Dam, just starting to pull away from Madison, but heading into the southeast part of Wisconsin as well. So rain will continue this morning in the east and south, and then end. Skies begin to clear from west to east yet today and tonight. Sunny and really summery for Saturday, cooling off pretty quickly then Sunday and Monday. Lower 70s, a cool spell on the way. I'll have forecast details right after this.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
So, Stu, it sounds like you're telling us we might be through the worst of the storm system that's moved through, and now it might be smooth sailing ahead into the Labor Day weekend. What do you have for us?
You're right, it should improve. I've got another rainfall report here. Racine, 0.18 inches. So our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Forecast does call for that rain in the east and south to gradually end this morning. Skies clearing from west to east across the state. And I expect upper 70s and low 80s yet today. Southwest winds become northwest with that cool front about 5 to 10. Clearing out overnight and getting cooler. Upper 50s, maybe a 60 here or there. The northwest winds at 5. Sunny Saturday, still warm. Most of us in the low 80s with west winds about 5. And then sunny and cooler Sunday, mid-70s, low 70s possible Labor Day, Stephanie. It sounds air-conditioned and great for later this weekend.
I'd agree with that, Stu. I hope you enjoy your 3-day weekend. Any special plans?
We're going on a little tractorcade on Sunday.
Oh, that sounds, and good weather for it. Nice job.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Stu Buck, our ag meteorologist. That was your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. You can visit compeer.com to learn more. And don't go anywhere, because Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke will be visiting with Compeer's CEO later in the hour. Until then, don't forget to keep giving us your weather update. It's at 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
They produced yacht rock hits that defined an era. It's Ambrosia.
Your biggest part of me.
With special guest John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster. Soft rock that rocked the yacht. It's Ambrosia and John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Must be 21 to attend concert.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894 making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later. Leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trinity Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of
Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean, it's
house.
A whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump and Las Vegas might get Swift boated. All right. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Vice President Harris gave CNN her first sit-down interview since becoming the Democrats' presidential nominee. She talked up her plan for what she called an opportunity economy, if elected, and said she would consider a Republican for her cabinet.
I have spent my career inviting diversity of opinion. I think it's important to have people at the table when some of the most important decisions are being made that have different views, different experiences.
An act of Congress would likely be needed, but former President Trump said if elected, he'd make the government pay for costs associated with in vitro fertilization. It's been a tough time for Boeing, both in its commercial aviation and space branches, but it reported an impressive statistic on Thursday. There was not a single fatal crash on any of the more than 31 million commercial jetliner flights worldwide in 2023. That hasn't happened since 1959. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. COVID-19 is spreading at a high rate right now in the Badger State. That's based on wastewater data, hospital admissions, and lab testing. State epidemiologist Tom Hupt says late summer COVID spikes are now the norm.
That could be due to the fact that people's immunity is starting to wane from last fall's vaccinations.
The new booster shot is rolling out, and he says it should be effective against the current strains. And Milwaukee tenants are suing the city's housing authority, saying it allowed a bedbug infestation to spread. College Court has a reputation in the city. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, since 2019, residents have filed more than 4,000 pest control requests for College Court. But residents claim that remediation never happened, and they had rashes so bad they were bleeding and thought it could be shingles. This lawsuit represents five tenants who are asking the housing authority to quickly solve the problem. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers blank the Giants. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. Milwaukee's Aaron Civale and Aaron Ashby combined for a two-hit shutout to give the Brewers a series win over San Francisco. The Brewers piled up eight hits in the 6-0 victory. Now the Brewers turn the page to a doubleheader Friday against the Cincinnati Reds in Ohio, where temperatures are expected to be around 100 degrees. The Wisconsin Badgers kick off their football season tonight against Western Kentucky at 8 p.m. It's the second year of the Luke Fickell era after going 7-6 a year ago. First-year starting Badgers quarterback Tyler Van Dyke is excited to get to work.
Just the atmosphere. I'm excited to play in front of this crowd, and excited to just get out there with my teammates. We've been practicing all year long, working together.
You can hear the Badgers tonight on our Civic Media stations WRJN, WRCE, WFHR, and WLAK, or on the free Civic Media app. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Maggie Dawn.
Fred Gutenberg, whose daughter was killed in the Parkland shooting, joins me next. We'll talk about why Derek Van Orten is unfit to serve another term in U.S. Congress.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A few lingering clouds and showers this morning, then gradually clearing this afternoon as we head into an absolutely incredible Labor Day weekend. Today, 79. Tonight, clear, 56. Tomorrow, sunshine, 82. And then sunny, highs in the mid-70s on Sunday and Labor Day. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Alaska implemented its top four open primary and ranked choice voting system in 2022 after voters approved ballot measure 2 in 2020 in a close vote. A right-wing ballot measure to repeal it, marred by questionable practices, was upheld by the Alaska Supreme Court on August 22nd and will appear on the November ballot. We reported in 2022 that over 80% of Alaskans found ranked choice voting easy to use, and that the open primary system offered more candidate choices. It also implemented a top four congressional race where the top four vote-getters advanced to the general election, again in an effort to offer more choice to voters. Republicans blame the system for the election of Democratic Congresswoman Mary Piltola. A group formed to repeal it, Alaskans for Honest Elections, was fined $94,000 in June for violating the state's dark money disclosure laws after a nonprofit church organization contributed $90,000. Pro-RCV Alaskans for Better Elections also questioned the validity of some signatures gathered for the anti-RCV campaign, but the Alaska Supreme Court upheld a lower court certification of the signatures last week. The measure will now appear on the November 5th ballot. Do Alaskans like ballot choices enough to keep open primaries and ranked choice voting? It's likely to be a close vote. Learn more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Nightline with Peach Wabba.
Gwyneth Paltrow. She has a company called Goop. You remember that project she sold? She found a way to bottle her the scent of her privates.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
That's a little pretentious. That's the last thing I would want to inflict on the population. Hey, everybody. Here's Pete's crotch. Line up. You can get it fresh here at the farmer's market, or you can buy it in aisle 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
If we see a revolving door at that spot, the first 10, 12 weeks of the season.
Stephanie Hoff, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Welcome back on a finally Friday. If you've got travel plans for Labor Day weekend, the Old Farmer's Almanac says you're in luck. In the astrology section of the book, there's an activity chart. It shows the best days each month for certain tasks based on the moon. Heading into a holiday weekend, it says that August 30th and 31st, today and tomorrow, are good days to travel for pleasure, not for work, but for play. As we know, college football is also in action this weekend. The Badgers play their first game tonight. It just so happens that today and tomorrow are also good days to entertain. I've got people coming over before the Badger game this evening, so according to the moon, I'm in good hands. That's what's happening in the Old Farmer's Almanac today. Regardless of what the moon says, though, this week was a good time to learn about handling livestock. Ben Jarbo reports from Lancaster.
For the very first time, there was a stockmanship and stewardship event in the state of Wisconsin. Tammy Vossen, the executive director for the Wisconsin Beef Council, was able to tell me a little bit about the presentations they had and what this means for the beef producers in Wisconsin.
So the National Cattlemen's Beef Association hosts about four of these regional workshops every year, and a state that is interested in hosting one has to send through a proposal with location, layout, budget, proposed agenda to be considered for the support that they provide to this program.
For those that don't know, what does the Stockmanship and Stewardship event do for the farmers?
Well, the highlight of all of the stockmanship and stewardship events is a cattle handling demonstration that is completed by Ron Gill and Kurt Pate, who are really known across the U.S. for their ability to work cattle in the ring, through the chute, understanding the behaviors of our cattle and how to best manage them to ensure animal safety, human safety, and continuing to improve the quality of the product that we're raising today.
So far, how many people would you say came through yesterday for this event?
We had about 130 people here yesterday, so we're super happy to see folks from really all over. Of course, kind of our Midwestern states here, but we know we've got someone from Colorado and Oklahoma, so it's been great to see the diversity of the farms and ranches that have come to this event.
What does it mean for the state of Wisconsin to be able to bring this show here and represent the beef cattle market here in Wisconsin?
Right. Well, I mean, it allows us at the state level to really have that partnership with NCBA to bring a very high level educational program for farmers. Again, with Ron Gill and Kurt Pate, that's the highlight, but we've had and been able to then tie into that a number of our extension and universities from Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa, and the speakers and the research that they are doing there to show that the Midwest is a great place to raise beef, too.
Are you planning on bringing it back or hoping to bring it back up here in the future?
Well, now that we've greased the wheels and understand the process a little bit, we'll probably give that some thought here in another couple of years, for sure. We're just super pleased again about the turnout, about the quality of program that we've been able to offer, and would definitely give that some thought.
Just for a little overview so people would know what to expect from these events, what other things are there to do?
Well, so yesterday we had presentations that highlighted everything from hairy heelworts to, you know, how to best incorporate vitamins and minerals into your beef cattle diet from conception all the way through to the feedlot. Today we have a packer panel as well as highlighting the results of the National Beef Quality Audit. And then we're going to be wrapping up this afternoon with another panel from the genetics companies that are really looking at those sustainability, selecting for sustainability. How can we best use and find the genetics out there to continue to improve the sustainability of our farms?
Tammy Vossen on what the show had to offer and what it means for the Wisconsin beef producers. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Thanks, Ben. And hey, don't go anywhere. We're taking a look at our commodity prices next.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
From Chicago, commodity markets are showing some strength as we walk into a three-day weekend. Cash corn is up 3.25 cents at $3.75 a bushel. December new crop corn is up a penny at $3.97 a bushel. Cash soybeans are up 7.25 cents, trading at $9.81 a bushel. And November new crop beans are up 7.75 cents at $10.25. In farm news this morning, Tractor Supply Company and the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation have teamed up again for the Paper Clover campaign. This means that for every $1 paper clover sold at a Wisconsin Tractor Supply, 90 cents comes to the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation. The other dime supports the National 4-H Council. When can you start buying clovers? The campaign runs October 2nd through the 13th. Checking out dairy markets this morning, the Class 3 September milk contract is trading up 9 cents at $22.27 a hundredweight. The October contract is up 4 cents at $22.66 a hundredweight. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, which was mixed on the close yesterday. Barrel cheese was up 4.75 cents at $2.17 and a quarter. The 40-pound block cheese stayed neutral, unchanged from Wednesday at $2.07 and a half. Markets are closed Monday for Labor Day. Up next, Compeer Financial CEO Jace Wagner visits with Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with civic media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Warm weather, humidity, and thunderstorms in Wisconsin bring mosquitoes that bite and annoy us throughout the spring and summer months.
They're there. They're always there. And then when we have high rainfall years, they're going to be more prevalent.
In fact, the first confirmed case of the West Nile virus has bitten Wisconsin. It was found in a blood donor from Washington County and also in a dead bird in Chippewa County. The West Nile virus is spread to humans, birds, and other animals through the bite of these infected mosquitoes.
Eliminate any water sources. Dump those flower pots out. Don't let dog or kitty pools sit. Fill them when you're going to use them and then dump them out. Clean the gutters. Reduce those sources is definitely going to help. You want to still be able to enjoy your yard.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Pickleball. Yep. Where's Greg Baca on this? Because I'm about to offend all these many, many people in Wisconsin who play it. It's overgrown ping pong. I mean, come on.
It's underbaked tennis.
Well, I've already done it because on the text line, Matt from Germantown, don't make fun of pickleball.
We're not making fun of pickleball. We're simply making fun of the people who play pickleball. There is a difference.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and political editor of Civic Media, joins us at 10:30. Be here.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. News from the Center, WRCE.
Compeer.com. Today we're being joined by the CEO of Compeer. Jace Wagner is along with us. I said to Jace, this is one of my favorite conversations in a calendar year with my friends from Compeer because it's time for the patronage dividends and distribution to be happening. Jace, give people a little sense on how Compeer's financial balance sheet looks, how these patronage distributions can actually happen.
Yeah, correct. We had a great year in 2023, and we're happy to give back over $185 million total in patronage for 2023 earnings. But we did that on the heels of a great year across agriculture, solid prices, good crops, and good risk management by our clients, which produced good outcomes for us.
I'm not sure that everybody in our audience, Jace, actually understands what patronage is. If you've grown up in agriculture, been involved with cooperatives, you know. But give people a little sense on exactly what that is.
Yeah, patronage is the cooperative dividend. And so if you think about a dividend that pays a cash payment based on the number of shares of stock you do, that's a corporate type of environment. In a cooperative, patronage is based on the amount of work that you do with the cooperative. So it's a great way to align the work that you do with the cooperative with the payments you get back. And it provides that great effort to give back to our communities, to get that money back in those rural areas and back on the farm, to invest in your operations, invest in rural communities, or invest in yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I've been a client of Compeer Financial. Explain to people a little bit about how the distribution happens for the folks just like me that do business with Compeer. And then, like you said, Jace, there are also a lot of dividends that flow back into rural communities in a lot of different ways. Tell us a little bit more about how you split up the patronage to individual members and entities and then those communities.
Yeah, so patronage goes back based on the loan balance that you have and the net interest that you provide to CompPeer. So we look at our total earnings for the year. We look at that relative to what's coming forward in the future year. And the board makes a declaration of how much capital to give back to our clients each year. So in this year, it's going to be $133 million of cash patronage coming back to our stockholders based on the amount of work that they do with CompPeer. That gets divvied out in July. The checks hit the mail typically right around the first part of August, and that money is distributed out and hopefully reinvested back into our rural communities. Top of patronage, we also do work with our Fund for Rural America, which is invests almost $5 million back to our communities in different ways, supporting first responders, supporting local ag programs, supporting ag in a classroom, all kinds of different efforts on top of the patches that we give back to our farmers and ranchers each year.
Yeah, there's a lot of programs that CompPeer provides for rural communities, for the farm families that live in that rural community. Again, along with us, Jace Wagner, is CEO of CompPeer Financial, announcing $133 million in patronage distribution that's going out right around now. You know, the other thing people have to understand, Jace, and it took me a while to get my arms around it, you stop and think about agriculture's roller coaster ride. Before we started this conversation, alluding to the fact that last year we faced a drought. This year, the damage done by too much rain. It is not all directly tied to the economic performance of the agriculture sector. Help people understand that.
Yeah, CompPeer is a very diversified operation. So we worked hard to both diversify the portfolio. So doing a lot of ag investing as well, rural infrastructure. So think about broadband, water systems, those type of things, but also broader agriculture. Think about like tree nuts and ag businesses and food production across the country and really having an impact across the world in that way. And so a diversified business model creates a real stable source of cash flow, which then is allowed to come back through the patronage programs that we've been talking about, but also retained for future growth, future risk management opportunities as well. We're headed into a different commodity market these days, and so we're ready. We're on a sound financial position, and being prepared and being a diversified obviously helps us sustain through those downturns.
Let me ask you, Jace, is this a unique business model? I mean, the farm credit systems all across the United States, obviously a lot of our farmers may be working with another lender or of some type. Is this a unique situation that CompPeer has compared to other bank models?
Yeah, so CompPeer is unique. We are a member of the Farm Credit System. Many of the farm credit entities work well together. We share volume back and forth and share a lot of the same mentalities and certainly the cooperative structure. I think where we differentiate ourselves from other lenders is our ability to have the industry expertise that we can help our farmers, ranchers, rural homeowners really work through situations that they have in their operations. We also have the cooperative model, and it allows us to think long term. It allows us to invest long term in our clients and their operations, and that can be different than some other lenders who may be in and out and not committed to the long run.
Well, and CompPeer, as they say, puts their money where their mouth is. I mean, you mentioned it earlier, the financial support for communities. And CompPeer is on a quest to really build rural resiliency. That's not a phrase that everybody may be familiar with, Jace, but I know it's a mantra for everybody within CompPeer.
Yeah, rural communities are essential to serving our clients long run. And so we've been working very hard to try and find ways to invest in rural communities. We do some healthcare investments today, but we're looking to work with Congress and other lenders and really what we're calling the rural capital team. So that includes USDA, legislators, banks, credit unions, anybody who's willing to invest in rural America. We want to get together. We want to invest in places where it makes sense and really help rural vitality. So achieve our mission of having a world where agriculture and rural communities are dynamic, collaborative, and thriving.
Jace Wagner, along with the CEO of CompPeer Financial, announcing today that they are distributing $133 million in patronage monies that are going out to their clients and, as he said, continuing to reinvest in rural communities. I've got to ask you, Jace, give me a little sneak at what the board and yourself are talking about. You alluded to it earlier. We are facing a challenging time economically, global slowdown as far as money's concerned, everybody watching interest rates. How are you folks looking to pivot or stay the course, or what are some of the things that you're looking at for 2025 and beyond?
Yeah, 2025, certainly there's a lot of uncertainty out there in a number of different areas, whether it's political or commodity markets or others. And so we are looking to build off that strong base of foundation that we have. We are ready for a number of different things that could happen. We do some stress testing and really understand what where the variables are and where how much margin for error we have. So like we tell our clients, it's always good to prepare for next year, prepare for the future. So we've been doing that year over year, and so we are ready. And we're not exactly sure how that's all going to line up, but I know that we're going to be there and be a sound financial solutions provider for all of rural America. And that's really key for Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois especially.
Far more than just your financial partner, Compure Financial, also your voice in Washington, D.C., and when it comes to those community-focused conversations. Jace Wagner along with us, CEO of Compure Financial. If you've never investigated all of the benefits that Compure has to offer, now you should be enticed. Reminding folks that they're getting $133 million back in patronage distribution, and that's happening right now. And like I said, that money also trickles back to your rural communities through a lot of different programs, helping to build that rural resiliency that Compure knows is incredibly important to all. Jace Wagner along with us, CEO of Compure. Want to find out more? Want to find some of the resources that they've got available online or maybe an office near you? Simple to do. Jump online, compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A federal program helps make higher ethanol fuel blends more available. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack announced the latest round of grants in the $500 million Higher Blends Infrastructure Incentive Program. He did so at the recent American Coalition for Ethanol Conference.
Every quarter, they're going to continue to see higher and higher numbers of those grants and more opportunities for that higher blend to get in the mix.
So far, says Vilsack,
that has resulted in us funding to date 193 projects, spending roughly $131 million of that $500 million.
American Coalition for Ethanol Chief Marketing Officer Ron Lamberty.
It's a grant that stations can get for putting in infrastructure, dispensers, tanks, lines, anything that they need to sell higher blends of ethanol, and it's blends above 10%. So even a station that's putting in E15, maybe not putting in E85, can get some of that money.
Jeff Cooper, president of the Renewable Fuels Association, is also a fan.
The HBIP program has stimulated retailers to make the investments necessary to distribute higher blends of ethanol, whether that's E15 or E85. And we've seen substantial growth in the number of stations offering those fuels to consumers, and HBIP has been a big reason for that.
Tomorrow, one gasoline retailer's perspective. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jeff Mitchell, who will tell us all we need to know about the Northeast Wisconsin Old Fashioned Fest. And it's a bar band Friday night as Terry Barr from Max Inc. Radio drops by with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.